seconds. One time for the underdog. One time for the underdog. Ignition sequence start.
Let me see you put 'em up. Reach the sky, touch the stars up above. 'Cause it's one time for the underdog. One time for the underdog.
I've had a lot of great sit-downs, a lot of interesting sit-downs, but this episode here with Jerry Springer, it got pretty heated 15 minutes into it because he brought up politics. We went back and forth. Look, I don't want to ruin it for you. You just got to hear what happens in this episode.
Something I can say about myself, when I first came to the States in 1990, we were living in a refugee camp in Germany, prior to that, Iran. There was a show, for whatever reason, that's how I learned English, maybe. There was a show we watched when we'd come home, and it was the Jerry Springer Show. And I got to tell you, we grew up watching that show as a kid.
And you stayed here?
And I stayed in America.
Because a lot of people, they come over, they see the show, and they leave.
They go back to where they're from. But, you know, first of all, thank you so much for visiting with us. Yes, and allowing us to come into your nice little office you have here. So here's some stats. This is insanity. September 30th, 1991. First show, 27 years. I think 3,891 episodes is what I saw, maybe higher than that you've done. You see a lot of times a show works for 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 6 years. Three decades, I don't know how many shows have been around for this long. And then a stat that you I read about from 98 to 99, at the peak of Oprah Winfrey's shows and at the peak of your show, you were number one for 65 weeks in a row. So how did this whole show come about? And was the plan from day one, hey, let's go talk about some of the craziest topics to turn into what it is today?
No, actually, the show started out as a normal talk show. But this was 1991, and there were like 20 talk shows on the air. And each of us was trying to be like Oprah, appeal to a demographic, which at that time was referred to as middle-aged housewives. So all the shows were like that. And we did that for two or three years, and we were an okay show, weren't great, nothing special, just kind of boring a lot of the time, but a normal show. And then along came Ricky Lake, and hers was the first show to go after the kids. And when I say kids, I mean high school and college age.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, as a business model, why are we trying to compete with Oprah and be one out of 20 shows and get a tiny piece of the pie? Why not go after Ricky's audience, the young audience, and then just be one out of two and get a much larger piece?
Smart.
So the very next day, we decided, okay, from now on, only young people in the audience, young people on stage, young subject matter. Well, as you know, young people are much more open in their lifestyles, much wilder, crazier, whatever. Mm-hmm. So we did that, and every once in a while, the show went crazy. Not every day, but every once in a while. Then Universal bought us, and when they bought us, they said, from now on, you can only do crazy. And so we became a show that was about dysfunctional personal relationships. And then all of a sudden, the show took off. Why it lasted so long, I wear really nice suits.
That's what it is.
It's
your suits.
Yeah, there's no... No, what I think what it is we have a niche. We're just so stupid and so crazy that no one else goes down that same road. And the second reason I think the show lasts is if you appeal to a young audience, you can last a long time because every year there are new young people suddenly old enough to watch.
Yeah.
If you do a show aimed at 30-year-olds, mm-hmm. by the time they're 32, they're bored because your tastes don't change between 30 and 40 and 50. So you run out of items. But if you do a show aimed at 16-year-olds or 18-year-olds, every year, suddenly there are a whole new class of peak kids that are suddenly old enough to watch when mom isn't home.
Yeah.
And it's the giggle factor. That's how you make a show last. Aim young.
30 years. So it's crazy because the last time I watched Jerry Springer, I was in the Army. Okay.
Yes.
The last time I watched. And I was 18, 19 years old.
Yes.
When I was watching. And then after that, so now that you're describing, there was a book called Blue Ocean Strategy that talks about exactly what you did, how you, if you got a market of 20, go into Blue Ocean, where you're not competing for this big market, open up a new market and win with Ricky Lake. But let me ask you this. You know how sometimes divorce attorneys or psychologists, they sit there all day long and all they're seeing is divorces. Husband and wife divorce. He did this. I want this. I want the miles. I want the house. I want the cars. I want the 401k. I want this. I want that. And sometimes that bleeds into them. How did you figure out a way to separate hearing all these crazy, he cheated on me, it's his baby, you know, it's his, I mean, it's this person's baby. How did you not, like, where did you stop it so it doesn't come into your head, or did the madness sometimes continue after work as well?
Well, it's no different. For 10 years, I was a news anchor. Well, every night, I had stories about crimes, war, you know, dysfunction. And when you're a news anchor, you don't say, you know what, I'm opposed to war, so I'm not going to report on it anymore. I'm opposed to murder, so if there's a murder, I'm not going to report it anymore. If you're a judge in a courtroom, a criminal court judge, you don't say, you know what, I'm so tired of crime, don't bring me any more crimes. Mm. That's your job. So if my job is to host a show about dysfunctional personal relationships, I can't then say, oh, how come you're bringing me all these stories? That's what the show is about. If I hosted a show about basketball, every day I would have basketball players on. And no one would say, how come you're always bringing basketball players? Because that's what the show is about. So that's why, no, it doesn't.
It doesn't bleed. You don't walk, go home and start thinking about the drama and all this stuff. You find a way to disconnect.
Well, first of all, we don't deal with anything serious. I'm not saying that people don't get angry, but it's about their girlfriend dating another guy. It's not like we don't do, for example, we don't do pregnancy tests. We don't do who's the father or that. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
It's in the same building, the other part.
Anything wrong with that. It's a different show. But that's life-changing. I just don't feel comfortable doing any show that's going to change someone's life. So I don't mind, you know, the chaos, but it can't be about really, really serious.
Let me ask you, like, what do your friends and family say when you started doing this?
I have
this?
No
what?
Friends.
Yeah. Well, you got a picture here of Barack Obama.
God bless him.
And you got a picture here of Hillary Clinton.
I love her.
I was looking all over the place for a picture of Bush or Trump. I couldn't find it here.
In fairness, look, obviously I'm a liberal and I'm Democrat, et cetera. So, you know, I have that worldview bias, whatever you call it, but that's what I believe. But even recognizing that there is a conservative point of view that is a serious point of view, I may disagree with it in most instances, but I can respect it. I wouldn't put Bush and Trump in the same category because Bush, even though I certainly disagreed with what he was doing in foreign policy, he had a conservative point of view. He had a point of view of substance. With Trump, it's not any particular point of view. And, you know, he can be the nicest guy in the world, but he doesn't belong in the White House. You know, that's a serious job being president.
You're certain about that? Like, that is a certain belief that you have that he doesn't belong in the White House?
I don't think there's any question. I think even you get people that support him, and they may say, ooh, I really like this. I got a tax break. You know, I'm a wealthier person, and this is going to be good. But no one says to their kids, I want you to grow up to behave like Trump. You know, I want you to be like that. Even when you talk to Republicans in private, they'll kind of roll their eyes and say, well, that's Trump. What, you know, at least we got the tax break. At least we got the guy we wanted on the Supreme Court. I mean, you know, 90% of America doesn't believe that the single most important job in the world, the most powerful job in the world, President of the United States of America, in America, this is what we get, Donald Trump? I mean, really?
How did he get elected, though?
Well, it was a crowded field to begin with, so that starts. But here's the thought. It was, in a sense, inevitable. Not that we'd get Donald Trump, but that we would get someone like him. And let me see if I can explain. For the last 40 years, ever since Ronald Reagan, when Ronald Reagan said, government can't solve the problems, government is the problem, we have raised a generation, two generations of Americans to believe that government is bad, that anything Washington does is bad, or the State House is bad, that politicians are all crooked, that every television commercial, political commercial you ever see is how the other guy's a bum, a pervert, a rapist, corrupt, he steals your money. All the time, every television commercial is how bad the politicians are. And then you get the politicians saying, if I'm elected, I'll drain the swamp, I'll do away with Washington. So we've raised people to believe in this country that government is horrible. So that's the first thing to remember. The second thing to remember is America has always elected famous people to be president, relatively famous. Throughout our history, it used to be the famous people were generals. They were military heroes because we didn't have the mass media. That's what we knew is who our generals were, our heroes. Mm-hmm. And then starting in the late 50s and then the 60s with John Kennedy, all of a sudden mass media became very powerful. And so we started to move into the area that people that were famous on television or could do really well on television, they became the well-known ones. Well, since Vietnam, we don't have really well-known military heroes.
Senior.
Maybe Schwarzenegger.
Senior was a... I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
The last person that served was senior, right? None of them have served since him.
Yeah, right. But I'm not saying they necessarily served, but was famous because of their service, okay?
Fair enough. Yeah.
So we haven't had that. So the only two areas in America that you can be famous in, and remember, we no longer can look at politicians because we've had 40 years of hating Washington mm-hmm. and politicians. So the only two areas where you can be famous in America are either sports or entertainment. Well, athletes are too young to be president. So we should have seen it coming that eventually we would get someone running for president or being president who came from the entertainment field so that be famous and would be anti-government. That combination is a Trump. There were others that could
that was
have been
Reagan
too.
First, right? I mean, it was a SAG, you know, he was running SAG and he was...
That was the first, and he right. certainly set the climate for Washington is the problem. I'll get government off your back.
Limited government,
and
yeah.
The pendulum went too far in the other direction. So all of a sudden, you know, whenever people are in trouble, then they want the government. You know, you have tornadoes, floods, whatever.
Well,
bring in the government.
Well, let me ask you this question. Here's the question. And by the way, I'm so glad you took it this way because I wanted to kind of see where you were going to take. I had certain questions I wanted to ask about the show, but you're a smart guy, so I'd much rather have this kind of a conversation than the show. The show's done very successful. Everybody knows. The world knows what the show is all about. I was with Dennis Prager last week. I don't know if you know Dennis
sure.
Prager. So, obviously, you know, Dennis is on this side, and you're on this side. And here's a question I asked Dennis. Here's a question I asked Dennis. And I'm going to ask you the same question. I'm curious to know what you're going to say.
My answer will be better.
I asked Dennis. I said, Dennis, I said, how long have you believed what you believe today? He says, my entire life. I said, really? He said, my entire life. I said, okay, fair enough. I grew up in a family. My mother said they were communists. My dad said they were imperialists. I lived in Iran 10 years. We escaped Iran. We lived in a refugee camp for 2 years. So I kind of saw both sides. One side says rich people are greedy. The other side says poor people are lazy. And I'm kind of trying to figure this thing out on who's right. If Jerry Springer was born, and maybe I'm curious to know about your family. If Jerry Springer was born to a father who is, hypothetically, Bush Sr., Bush and Laura, okay? Where would Jerry be today with his political belief system?
So you can't deny that how you're brought up has an obvious effect. To that extent, I lost most of my family in the Holocaust. So that the lesson of the Holocaust, losing my grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins, you know, and then mom and dad just got out, literally 2.5 weeks before Hitler goes into Poland to start World War II. They got out the first week in August, and Hitler went in.
Your parents did?
My parents, yeah. But my grandparents, uncles, aunts, they were all killed. And my parents got to England. They couldn't get a visa to come to the States, so they just got out, though, 2.5 weeks before Hitler shut the doors, the gates, and no one else could get out. And my sister and I were born in England, and then when I was 5, we came to America. Anyway, so the Holocaust experience teaches you, above all else, I would say, you never, ever, ever judge people based on what they are. You only judge people based on what they do. So that teaches you never to be prejudicial. Never to, it doesn't matter what country you're from. It doesn't matter to me what your religion
Absolutely.
Is. It doesn't matter what your skin color is, what your ethnicity is. In other words, that's irrelevant. The question is, how are you behaving as a person? And America, we took seriously the Statue of Liberty. We were immigrants. My parents didn't speak English that well, My mom did, my dad didn't, you know, when he first came over. And they would just work as hard as they could so that Evelyn, my sister, and I could go to college and all that. We believed that the Statue of Liberty meant you could come to America, no one would care if we were Jewish anymore, but it would, you could be anything you wanted to be. And I'm living proof of that, because in one generation, my family went from extermination to this ridiculously privileged life I live today because of the show. So we know America works. And so when you see me get angry at a guy like Trump who wants to replace that Statue of Liberty with a wall, that is so un-American. It is like when Fox News says fair and balanced, like tongue in cheek, knowing full well that their whole model was to be very right wing and not be fair and balanced.
To be fair, okay. On the other side, 95% is the complete opposite side, right?
I understand. I'm just saying, no, I'm using this slogan. Trump says America, we're going to make America great again.
Yeah.
It's tongue in cheek because basically what he's saying is, don't worry about that Statue of Liberty. We're not a multicultural society. America will be primarily white and Christian again. And we all know that's what he wants. But the people that are wearing those red caps are thinking. They're not in favor of a multicultural America.
I don't know about all of them.
Sure.
But here's the thing. I really want to go to this because, Jerry, I mean, again, you've spoken to Harvard, you've spoken to Yale, you've spoken to Oxford, you've spoken all over the place. You've made it to the pinnacle in your world. Pinnacle. I mean, you went from 20 competitors, you stay here 27 years. That's like you having a big kid 3 decades. You know, there's not a lot of people that have done that. The part I want to know is this. If your parents were Bush, if your parents were Reagan, if your parents were them, would you have ended up having different political views than you do today yourself? I have voted left and right. I've been a registered Democrat. I've been a registered Republican. I just said, forget both. I'm going right in the middle. I don't trust either or. Whenever they talk good things about Obama on MSNBC, I go to Fox. Whenever they talk good things about Trump, I go straight to MSNBC or CNN.
Okay, there's something wrong with that. No, what I mean is, I know it sounds great to say that it's like, and a lot of the media is doing that today, actually. And I get it, because we kind of learned that in journalism when you grow up, is each side, give each side an equal voice. Well, it's okay to hear from both sides, but you can't, there's not moral equivalence. I'm sorry, if on one station you're getting, we can't have minorities in our country, or we're gonna ban various religions from our country, and the other side is saying, no, we're a multicultural society. I don't see that as an even discussion. This is America.
I want to see both arguments, though.
Well, we know what that argument is. Keep them out. It's a one-sentence argument.
Yeah. But
and at some point, you got to say, it isn't equal. It isn't equal. When you discriminate against people, for example, I don't find an equal argument. I understand people want to have guns, Second Amendment, all that. Fine. We're not going to get all the guns away in America, and maybe we shouldn't, whatever. I understand that. But that's a separate saying. It's an equal discussion about whether we should have assault weapons that can kill 30 people in 30 seconds.
I'm with you on that.
Okay,
but
that's what I'm saying. What is the moral equivalent that the people that want the assault rifles, assault guns, or those that can be converted into such, it's because it's their hobby, because they can go to a firing range, because they can have better luck in killing deer. It's a hobby. I get it. But if you want a hobby, collect stamps. On the other side, you got kids that are being killed. People, why do you need an assault weapon? Why is that an equal argument? If you wanted to do away with this Second Amendment, that would be horrible. But no one's saying that.
But some would say for somebody that escaped what your family experienced, this is exactly why we have the gun rights. So your family would be, I lived in Iran, and you know the first thing you do is you take away the guns and then you can control the populace. The question I have for you, Jerry, I'm really trying to figure this out in my own life, is the following. How do we form our political opinions? Really? Because I have a certain formula that I think from meeting a lot of successful people like yourself this became the conversation. This became the conversation was, okay, you cannot tell me right are the only smart, enlightened people who have the best answers. That can't be right.
No.
And you cannot tell me left is the most smartest, brilliant, and neither party is right. I've seen smart people on both sides. I've seen idiots and fools on both sides. I've seen people that
But no one's arguing
but
that.
But the point I want to ask you is, how do we form our political opinions?
You grow up, okay, you develop early your values, you know, a value system.
That's where we're going
to. Okay. And maybe, so you grow up with, I would hope, the values you grow up with is to be fair, a sense of justice, not to be mean. Mm-hmm. Remember everything your mother told you in the third grade. Share your toys with Johnny, be polite, be nice. No one ever got in trouble for being nice, okay? So you start with that value system. Once you establish the value system, which cannot be compromised, then you intellectually figure out what is the best way to get things done, staying consistent with your value system. So my value system may have said, I'm entering a competitive society, mm-hmm. work hard, etc. But your value system says, try to be successful in life, but don't steal. Try to be successful in life and don't be mean. You know, treat other people as you want, you know, your own kids to be treated. It's not difficult, but there's too much of compromising basic, decent values, which we all agree we should teach our kids in the third grade.
On both sides, though.
And then it's not a matter of sides. If there is a Democrat, for example,
yeah.
that didn't have those values, I wouldn't support him.
So let's
it's not a matter of you just always go with your party.
Well, let me ask you
this. I started in politics by going against Lyndon Johnson because Lyndon Johnson wanted to continue or build up a war in Vietnam that made no sense. So I got into politics by working for Bobby Kennedy to challenge Lyndon Johnson in the Democratic primary. So I've been in situations where Democrats go against their own. Why can't decent, bright, intelligent, conservative Republicans who will tell you personally that, oh, Trump, then when they get in front of the camera, well, I'm back in the president.
But the same goes with Hillary. There's some people that feel the same way about Hillary.
No, what? I mean, okay. See, there's the...
But you're telling me that everybody on the left supports Hillary?
No, because it's not moral equivalence.
But you think
you may not have liked that Hillary used the wrong email system. But do you for one second believe that her values in terms of raising children, treating people... When have you ever seen Hillary Clinton be anti-Muslim, anti-black, anti-Catholic? You think...
Some will say in 94, you know, when she made that comment.
You know, make but one comment. See, now you're
rationalizing. But this is what I'm not. No, I'm not.
It's not even.
I'm not. Believe me, I am. Seriously, because here's where
I'm
trying.
Do you have kids?
I have three kids.
Okay. You would tell your kids to grow up and behave like, you have two choices, children.
Yeah.
You behave, treat women like Donald Trump, say those kind of things about women. You treat them like that. You behave like Donald Trump, or you behave like Hillary Clinton.
Neither one of them.
Oh, man. You don't know her.
But here's the
thing. That is.
Do you remember in the debate?
You may think she's liberal, but don't tell me that.
Do you remember in the debate when they said, say something good about the other person? You remember that? You obviously remember that.
Yeah.
And Trump said, she never quits. And then what did she say?
She said,
he raised good kids.
Yeah, but then Trump said, as you know, he didn't raise his children.
I know the comment because he gave the credit to his wife, Ivanka.
The credit?
But
she was the one that raised them. Now, once they were adults.
There's a part of it. Okay.
Okay, you just want to believe that.
No, I don't want to believe.
If
you knew my political belief, you wouldn't. Listen, when this whole thing got started, you had a left that was already funded that Hillary's going to be the representation. No one gave Bernie a shot. No one gave anybody a shot. And the right was funded with $140 million of Jeb Bush day one. You know this. I know this. So day one, we're already picking the winners.
You think Hillary would say ban Muslims? You think Hillary would say Mexicans are rapists?
I don't think she would say that.
Because she's not that kind of a human being.
But that's not her campus. Like Carter saying human rights movement, and he didn't end up becoming the most successful president.
I'm not saying who's successful.
But the point.
We're talking about who has decent
values.
So let me ask you this.
Let me ask you this question. You said earlier, limited government, small government, big government. You're a smart guy. Educate me. Okay? I want to learn. So here's
a
question.
I'm not smarter than you.
Here's a question here for you. We have $1 billion. You and I have a choice.
Yeah.
We have $1 billion. Okay? We can give this $1 billion to politicians to try to turn it into $3 billion. Okay? Or we can take this $1 billion and put it in the free marketplace and see who can do a better job to turn this into more jobs. Okay, the billion. We have a budget. Because this is what I think it comes down to. I think on the social side, we may differ. Pro-life, pro-choice, pro-this, pro-that, all that stuff, we may differ. But I think fundamentally when it comes to economics, you moved you're in Stanford. You know, NBC moved over here, Stanford, and you got the tax breaks, the 30%, the 20% above million, all this other stuff that comes. There's a reason to do that. In L.A., Burbank, you know, and Glendale have certain breaks over others. In the Hollywood, there's you know, we don't want to pay a lot of taxes. Yeah. Who do you think is going to create more jobs? The government's going to create more jobs with a billion? Or free enterprise is going to create more jobs?
Generally, let me just answer this.
I'm curious your answer here.
The economy has always done better under a Democratic president than Republican. So my point is that if you live in a society, not alone, but in a society, we all have to rely on each other. 99% of what we are, we had nothing to do with. You had nothing to do with whether you'd be born, to whom you'd be born, with what kind of brain you would have, with what kind of...
You had nothing to do. Yeah.
It's a gift.
I agree.
So whenever you get a gift under any moral culture, your job is to say thank you. And the way we say thank you is to say, I'm lucky. I have no more talent than anyone else in this business. And that's true. That's not me being disingenuous. I think I'm a nice guy and I'm reasonably bright, but I'm not talented. And I got lucky. But what about the guy that's picking up the garbage, driving the truck, doing the really hard, sweaty work? You think that guy's not working harder than I am? Come in here, I get my Starbucks. Jenna tells me what I need to do that day, and I go and do it. How tough is that?
I understand.
And we have a system where I make the money, and the guy driving the truck doesn't. That's why we need strong unions. That's why we need a government that will provide for those kids that are born into a family that doesn't have those lucky breaks.
I wasn't born.
How does that compare?
Yeah,
with,
but the question.
Well, who's going to get the bigger tax breaks?
But wait a minute.
Fix lives for people. That's why we come.
Do you think the government's going to fix it, or we the people are going to fix it?
We are the government in America. We are the government.
That's good. I agree.
So the government does fix it.
So we people that are paying the taxes. Okay.
Those are dudes.
Last question for you.
Those are dudes.
Last
Americans complaining about taxes.
You got a show and I got to keep you on time because she's signaling me. So I want to keep you on time because you got a show to go to. And believe me, I wish we had 45 minutes more.
Good.
So not the Jerry today. Let's go back to Jerry. 1990 Jerry.
Yes.
Okay.
Damn, I was good looking.
I was good looking. Okay. So 1990 Jerry. You know, you're coming off of 10 years, you know, you're saying anchor, you know, Cincinnati, all this stuff you're doing. You did some politics. You're the mayor of Cincinnati for 1 year. You did some of the stuff prior to that, you know, make some runs for Senate, all these other things you're thinking about. Congress, you ran earlier. Okay, fair enough. At what point would you say, and I am hoping you don't give me the CNN or Fox answer, which is, give me the answer you want to give me and still not answer the question I'm asking. I'm really hoping to see what you're going to say to this. Okay. At what tax rate would you say, screw you, whatever state you're living in, and move to another state? At what tax rate? For instance, California right now is a 57.5% top line. I'm curious to know what you're going to say.
Because I'll give you the answer.
I really want to hear it.
I can't conceive of any realistic tax rate at my level. It is absurd, the tax breaks I get. Absurd.
Chad, what level would you say above this? I think it's unfair to pay more than this much taxes.
Well, obviously.
But remember, not today, Jerry, 1990, Jerry. Jerry hasn't yet made a lot of money in 1990.
We have never in my life in America ever been anywhere close to a tax rate that would have any relevance in where I would decide to live.
So a
never,
number. What number?
Ever. Well, I guess if they taxed you 95%.
Oh, so you'd be okay if we raise the taxes to 95%?
I don't know what life is like if you would be then in a totally
communistic, pretty much
or
nation.
Socialist country. Let me answer it this way. I'm not dodging the question. There is no tax rate that we've ever had in America that has been repressive. When we had a very high tax rate in the 70s and 80s, our economy went through the roof. So this nonsense about, boy, the taxes are so, they're high for rich people, really? You know what? Who doesn't want to be rich, let's say? If you know, what are you complaining about? When rich people complain about taxes, I look at how we're living and I say, you know, when I go to my friends, I live around a lot of wealthy people. And when they start complaining about it, I say, what? You drive here in your beautiful cars, you have these beautiful homes, you have vacations every place. What are you complaining about? Isn't there something in your guilt feelings to say, yikes,
but
am I
a
lucky?
Challenge to it.
You think the poor have a better break than rich people?
Jerry, that's why I asked 1990.
Be poor for a while.
I've been poor for most of my life. I was poor.
But was it better? No.
Terrible.
Right.
A terrible.
Exactly the point.
I
so
work
quit
80 hours,
whining
but I work,
if you're a rich person that your tax rate went up a little
bit. I'm not whining about
that.
No, I'm not whining about that. Here's what I'm concerned about. Last thoughts. Here's what I'm concerned about. What I'm concerned about is the following. Say I'm your son. And say you have two sons.
Yes.
I'm one of your sons.
Yeah.
Okay? Patrick Springer.
You'd be better looking if you were my son.
Okay. You name me Patrick Springer. Okay.
Yeah, I'd probably give you a Jewish name, but okay.
Jerry Springer Jr., I'm your son. I love you. We're good friends.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
We're at a point. I've made you proud, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And we have another one. Okay?
Yeah.
Our father, you've worked your tail off. I mean, you've sacrificed. You've been away, you've been on the road, issues, health, all the, you have busted your tail. And you today are worth $10 million.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
$10 million that you worked for, not me. I don't work for that. You work, but wait a minute. Let me say this point. $10 million that you work for, right? I don't work for it. Okay. I take your money and I say, Dad, that money you made, I think I want to spend that money, $600,000 here, $300,000 here, $800,000 here, $200,000 here, $100,000 here, with no accountability. I didn't work for it. You work for it. This is the challenge. This is where I'm going with this. The challenge I'm going with this, America has become a very powerful, successful nation at the cost of the people that came prior to us. And I feel if the generations prior to us, as if you're my father, made all of that money, I think it's foolish for us to say, now that we have all this money, let's come out with all these different programs and let's give it away for free. I feel we're taking...
What's giving it away for free?
This is a tax question.
No, those are slanted words.
This is a tax question. You still didn't answer my question,
though. Okay, what is the question?
The question was, if it's taxes, what rate would you say I'm not paying above this?
I would say 95%. I'd say, hey, what are you doing?
So you would be okay.
I don't know. You have to study exactly what that's. What I'm telling you, my answer, not dodging.
Have you studied Arthur Laffer and David and Christina Romer?
Yes, which is absolutely crazy and wrong, and the trickle down doesn't work.
But you know,
because
David
when
and
you give
Romer are from
no,
UC Berkeley.
When you give
Obama
corporations, when you, I don't care who hired who. I'm just telling you that. The trickle-down theory has never worked. And the reason it has never worked is if you give corporations a tremendous tax break, what do they do with it? They give it to their investors, okay? No one hires...
Come on,
hold on,
Jerry.
No one hires one more person than they need to, ever. You don't suddenly say, I need someone to mow my lawn, and one person could mow the lawn. But you know what? There are four kids in the neighborhood. I'm going to hire five kids to do it, and I'll pay each of them. Every company, every time, every 3 months, there's a corporate meeting to say, how can you cut expenses in your department? Every company does that.
I run a company.
So you do that. So you don't say, you know what? We don't need this much of a profit. I got an idea. Let's go out and hire more people. We don't need them to do anything, but let's just hire them.
They do that. You don't think companies do that?
That's why. So my question to you then is, you're admitting that when you get a huge tax break, you turn it into profits for your people. You don't suddenly go out and hire more people.
We hire more people.
To do what?
What do you mean to do what? We have so much more jobs to create. There's so many ways to become more. Just right now, I'll give you an idea.
Infrastructure would hire more people. Why don't you do that and do things that we actually need in this country? We need to fix the roads, the schools, the hospitals, the bridges. We need infrastructure.
That's why we pay 30% taxes.
Stop worrying about your taxes.
But you have
for
to. It's a mathematical you decision. It's like me being irresponsible with my finances.
Well, you're not responsible if there are people left out in this country that aren't eating, that aren't going to decent schools, that aren't getting a decent life.
Let's create a better environment for that.
Every country on this planet is some combination of a little bit of capitalism and a little bit of socialism. There is a continuum. On the one end of the continuum, you have capitalism and 100% capitalism, and on the other end, socialism.
Which this doesn't work and that doesn't work.
Every country is somewhere in the middle.
Yes.
Even China has a little bit of capitalism.
You.
All right. So I'm saying
I'm
move it over more. The tax Ask rate for, should okay. be the so, tax rate should be in answer to your question
yeah.
where the most people in our country can have a decent life. That's a fair tax system. But if there's a tax system which lets me have this privileged life and other people don't have it, that's not a tax system we should be proud of. That is a tax system that ought to be fixed.
You really believe that? So you're saying you would be okay
no,
at 95%?
I'm just saying it.
You really would be okay with 95%?
I don't know what the number is. No, because so. That's no, because I'm telling you, I don't know what that number is.
So my biggest concern today is we don't have a Walter Cronkite. We don't have a guy that I can look at that's going to give me either side, and it's not going to have emotionally attached to one second. You know, politics is passion. Like you said, values, principles, things that you grew with. There are certain things that we're attached to.
It doesn't mean that during the Walter Cronkite era, he would end every broadcast by saying, and that's the way it is. This the 23rd day of December, yep. 1900, whatever. And, but in truth, it wasn't the way it is. It's the way one reporter in one location at one moment in time, what that person happened to see. See, I believe the journalists are honest, 99% of them are honest. They just don't tell you the truth. And the difference between that is honest is because they don't lie. They don't know something and then tell you something else. That would be lying. But the reason they don't always tell you the truth is because who knows truth, okay? Maybe, you know, in your life, you grow up to learn and make judgments. You get information. You get it from newspapers. You get it from your kids. You get it from your teachers. You get it from the parents. You get it from observations. You develop wisdom. And maybe just before you die, God goes like this, and suddenly you have truth. So we don't totally know that. Back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and into the 80s, we only had three networks. And because television had to be regulated so you wouldn't screw up the signals, you had to make sure, since there were only, you had to give each network a bandwidth. That meant that all of America was basically getting their news from just three television stations. You didn't have social media. You didn't yet have cable before 1980. So since there were only, all the country was getting its news from only three stations, you couldn't have partisan, blatantly partisan newscasts. It had to be, we're just telling you what each side says. Now, once you had cable and once you had social media, you can have thousands of opinions, and that's where news has kind of gone. So we don't get the, but just because we had three stations didn't mean that everything they were telling us was God's truth.
Sure, of course. Okay. No, I'm with you there. I just it would be interesting if we had somebody like that today. By the way, Jerry, I wish we had way more time because we would have
You're
talked
a good
some
man.
Interesting things. And by the way, where can they find your podcast? I know you got a podcast. And by the way, you got to check out his podcast. Where can they find your podcast?
Well, thank you. Just Google Jerry Springer Podcast. It's a weekly podcast, and I do it at a coffee shop in Ludlow, Kentucky, right across the river from Cincinnati. And it's a folk music coffee shop. So people come in with their guitars, their banjos, their fiddles. And I do it with my best friend for 45 years. We sit there in the coffee shop. It's 10 minutes of comedy, 10 minutes of me doing a political rant, which surprisingly
yes.
is liberal. And then we do 10 minutes of music. And the music is
creative.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It's creative, yes.
So give it a listen, Jerry Springer Podcast.
Again, Jerry, thank you for your time. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And by the way, if you haven't already subscribed to Valuetainment on iTunes, please do so. Give us a 5-star. Write a review if you haven't already. And if you have any questions for me that you may have, you can always find me on Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. Just search my name, Patrick Bit-David. And I actually do respond back when you snap me or send me a message on Instagram. With that being said, have a great day today. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.